Already said last week we were looking in our all age service at Daniel chapter 6, Daniel in the Lion's Den, and now we're halfway through Daniel, and I felt like today was an ideal time to take a 1 week break from that series and to speak about something else, particularly since we have this 24 hour prayer event taking place this weekend at the Hub. And I'm really encouraged by the fact that there should be someone there now praying right as we speak. And the other night, I was just about to go to bed, and Esther said to me, it was about 11:30, she said, isn't it nice to know that there's someone there praying right now? And that was quite an exciting thing to think about. The theme for this weekend has been all about reconnecting with God. And the message I feel that God's given me for this morning is a bit about reconnecting with something of the purpose and the plan that God has for us as his church and as his disciples. And the message I think that God has shared with me this week is something of the importance of unity in living out the purposes of God as the body of Christ. This weekend's prayer event is a really significant time, not just for us in RBC, but I think for the whole church in Ruddington and for the community around us as well. And I have a really strong sense that that in this time of us reconnecting with God, something much bigger and something much deeper is taking place. That God is just doing something and stirring something in the church here in Ruddington and in this community. One writer that I was reading this week, talking about unity, said this: there has never been a spiritual awakening in any country or locality that did not begin united in prayer. I'm going to read that again. There has never been a spiritual awakening in any country or locality that did not begin united in prayer. I think that kind of sums up something of the importance and the relationship between unity and prayer, and what happens when these two things come together, when God's people get together and pray. I think when we do this, when we pray together, it's like providing fertile soil for a seed to grow. It's providing an opportunity for God to do something new in us as individuals, but us as his church. Spiritual awakenings only begin when God's people are united in prayer. And that's why I also think it's great that we're not just praying as one church, but we're praying as the church in Ruddington. So we're praying with our friends from St. Peter's and the Methodist Church as well. Something that I've realized over time is that there are two main things that the enemy likes to disrupt and destroy more than anything else. And these two things are firstly prayer, and secondly unity between Christians. Jesus' number one commandment is to love God and to love each other. Why does Satan disrupt prayer and unity? Because prayer is how we love God, and unity is how we love each other. One of the reasons I feel led to pray to preach on unity this weekend is because as we join together in prayer, we have to stand firm, both in our persistence in prayer and in unity, in our relationship with one another, and not let anything else destroy or disrupt what God is doing. I want to say, if anything today is causing you not to be at peace with another person here, or another person, another Christian, in this church or elsewhere, today is the best day. It's the only day to sort that out and to make peace. Don't let the enemy disrupt what God is doing. Don't give him a foothold. It talks about foothold in the Bible. Don't give him a foothold and a way in. And so I want to think a bit this morning about this passage that Hannah has read from Acts chapter 2. This passage comes just after Jesus has ascended into heaven, and earlier on in the chapter, we read about Jesus' followers being all together in one place. They're waiting on the Holy Spirit. And then with the sound of a mighty wind, the Holy Spirit meets with them powerfully. And they go out and they start sharing the faith that they have in Jesus with other people. And we read that thousands of people are added to their number. the church begins. The very first church begins. And then we have these verses that reveal, that we've read this morning, that reveal to us the values and actions of this very first church. And I want to spend a bit of time looking at these verses as we think a bit about the importance of unity. And I just think, because the reading's quite short, I'm just going to read it again. I'm actually going to read from verse 42, because I told Hannah two verses too late. They devoted themselves to the apostles' teaching and to fellowship, to the breaking of bread and to prayer. Everyone was filled with awe at the many wonders and signs performed by the apostles. All the believers were together and had everything in common. They sold property and possessions to give to anyone who had need. Every day they continued to meet together in the temple courts. They broke bread in their homes and ate together with glad and sincere hearts, praising God and enjoying the favor of all the people. And the Lord added to their number daily those who were being saved. So we'll think a bit more about that in a moment. As you know, as most of you will know, I'm a lover of sport. I love anything to do with sport. Esther will tell you my favourite thing to do on a Sunday afternoon is to watch whatever sporting event is on television, whether it's the Grand Prix or the football or the rugby or tennis or even hockey sometimes can be on TV. I love a bit of hockey. I also like playing sport. I play hockey for West Bridgeford for their 10th team. I haven't quite made it that far up. They tell me if I'm able to commit a little bit more on a Saturday and go to training that I could possibly move up through the teams. Sadly, training's on a Monday, which is the day that most church things happen on. But I absolutely love playing hockey and a bit of football. And for me, my football team is Liverpool. I support Liverpool. And I just love watching anything to do with sports. And in particular, I don't just like watching what's happening, but I really get interested in the tactics behind sport and what's going on in the way that the teams have been set up and the way that they're playing. I find all that stuff really fascinating and interesting. And because of that, I'm particularly a fan of team sports where people have to work together. Just going to put this up. This is a tactics board for a football match. And this doesn't really show anything in particular, but I was saying that my favourite team is Liverpool. And this may go over some people's heads, but I want to tell you something of the tactics that Liverpool have been employing this season. And so Liverpool have been playing this really interesting tactic called they're playing a high-pressing game, which means that when the other team have the ball in their defence, the whole Liverpool team rushes up and tries to tackle them when they're in their defence before they have a chance to move up the pitch. And this is a really, really good tactic when it works. The problem is, when it doesn't work, it leaves spaces all over the pitch for the other team to run into. And so when you have your attack and your midfield rushing up to the other team's defence, but your own defence staying quite far back, there's a big gap in the middle of the pitch for people to pass into and to run into. And it leaves space and gaps for the other team to attack. Football's not your sport. It might be rugby with the Six Nations that's going on at the moment. That's not a picture of the Six Nations. It's the best picture I could find. In rugby, they have this line of defence here that you can see. And you often hear the phrase from commentators that they have to move up together. The defence have to move together. And if they don't move together, if this line is broken, it leaves gaps for the opposition to attack and to run through and to score tries. Just one more. Some of you might be interested in the cycling. I like the cycling at the Olympics. And this is some of the velodrome cycling, where they have to work as a team to go round and round and round together. You might wonder what the point of it is. But they go round and round, and they have to try and beat the time set by another team. But the problem is, when they finish the race, the time is based on the last person who crosses the line. And so if one person gets tired or doesn't do their job properly, big gaps can appear between the cyclists, which means that their times aren't quite so good. Now, why am I telling you all of that? Disunity in any sport leaves gaps for the opposition to move into and use the space to their advantage. All good sports teams will spend hours making sure that they move together as a unit, that every player is doing their job, and that they're all communicating well as a team. In the same way, disunity between Christians has a similar effect. Disunity in the church causes gaps for the enemy to move into, to disrupt the smooth working of the body of Christ and to distract away from what God's really doing and from his work. The writer Corrie ten Boom, you may know of her or him. Is it her or him, Corrie ten Boom? Her, I thought it was. Just checking. There's no pictures on the front of her books. It just says her name. So, and she says, be united with other Christians. A wall with loose bricks is not good. The bricks must be cemented together. Be united with other Christians. A wall with loose bricks is not good. The bricks must be cemented together. And linking in from everything that I've said so far, the first point I want to make this morning is that to live in unity, we must move together. We must move in harmony and in unit, and as a unit. When we see a sports team or an orchestra play together as one, it can be such a beautiful an exciting thing. You may also see it when birds are flying as one group. Again, there is something really special about the unity. In Psalm 133, it says, how good and pleasant it is when God's people live together in unity. I think when God sees his people working together in harmony and as one body, to him that is just so good. And just as God looked at the world when he created it and he saw that it was good and he said, that is good. When he looks at unity between his people, he sees it as good because that's just the way he's created it to be. In the passage from Acts, we read of how these early Christians moved together. It says they devoted themselves to the apostles' teaching, to fellowship and to the breaking of bread and prayer. Everyone was filled with awe at the many wonders and signs performed by the apostles. All the believers were together and had everything in common. They sold property and possessions to give to those in need. They met together in the temple courts and broke bread in their homes. In this passage, we don't read, some of them prayed. Some of them met together. Some of them broke bread. Some of them sold their possessions. No, we read all the believers were together and they had everything in common. They did all these things together as one body and as one unit. And they made a massive impact. Thousands of people came to know Jesus. The Lord added to their number daily those who were being saved. And we read that they enjoyed the favor of all the people. They made a massive impact on that society around them, the community around them, because they were united, because they were together. And just as God saw that as good, all the people around them saw it as good as well. I'm going to surprise Ness. Ness, you went into the school this week and Mr. Mapley, the head teacher, said something quite interesting to Ness. And I was wondering if you would be willing to share that with everyone. Can you? Yeah. Where's the microphone? This is just something that illustrates how people see unity between Christians.
Okay, so during the 24/7 prayer, Sam and I both did assemblies in the schools and we took part of the prayer at the hub, which is a tree. If you've been, you've seen the wooden tree with all the leaves. So we took them into the school before we did it and the children had an opportunity to write prayers and put them on the leaves. And I was telling at St. Peter's how we were doing this joint prayer weekend and Mr. Mapley was in the assembly. And at the end, he came up to me and the first thing he said was, is it usual for churches in a village to work together like this? And I was really encouraged because firstly, we've been praying a lot for Mr. Mapley and we've been praying that people would see that we work together. And that was the first thing he noticed. And you just think, you don't imagine him to notice that. And I said, well, it isn't always, but it's a good thing to work towards and we're working towards it. So I think that's a real encouragement that he noticed that. So
yeah. And so it's really encouraging to hear when other people see the unity between Christians and the impact that can make. And so the impact it made on a head teacher of a local school. And how has he seen that? He's seen that through hard work between the churches. It takes hard work to work together sometimes. But it's through us uniting and moving together in so many ways. So we're working together as churches in prayer, in doing various services together, in children's work and school work and serving the community around us. Not only does God look at unity between Christians and see it as a good thing, but other people like Mr. Mapley in the school or in your workplaces or wherever they may be in the community see it as good too. When people look at Christians and see them working together and see unity, they see a good thing. And that is the amazing impact that unity between Christians can make. And that's why I think it's so important that we're doing this prayer weekend together. And this is the importance of moving together. One of the main images of unity in the Bible is the church being like a body. Many of you would have read that passage all about the body of Christ, all with different gifts and roles and abilities, just as the body, the human body, has different parts. For a body to work effectively, the body parts have to work in harmony with each other. They have to move together. If they don't move together, they end up falling over. My first question for you this morning is this: are you moving with the rest of the body? Or are you standing still or resisting? Unless we move together, gaps will form. And that's where the enemy can attack. Often church events will take place like this prayer weekend or men's breakfast. And it is really understandable that some people have more time to give than other people, depending on work life and various other things. But even if someone is busy, even if an event isn't your cup of tea, as I've heard from some people, even if you disagree with a decision that's been made, I encourage you to keep in step with the rest of the body and move together. It doesn't mean you can't share some of the things that are in your mind. You can still share if there's something that you disagree with. But once you've shared that, keep in step with the rest of the body. Move together. Move as a unit. That's the only way the church can function. It's in our unity that people see the love of God revealed. So first of all, move together. And secondly, share a common purpose. The word community, as well as having the word unity within it, comes from a Latin word which is communis, which means to have in common. That's what the word community means, to have in common, to have a common purpose or unity. We live in and are often influenced by the culture around us, particularly the consumer culture. And the amount of times I've heard Christians say, thankfully I haven't heard it too much in this church, I didn't like that prayer time, or I didn't like that sermon, or that worship wasn't for me. And it makes me want to say, you're right, that worship wasn't for you. It was for God. I think Christians have the potential to be a part of the church for the wrong purpose, for what we can get out of it. This is the common purpose that we share at RBC. This is our purpose statement. We're a community of people on a journey together to know Jesus Christ and to follow him in everyday life. This statement firstly says that we're a community, that we share something in common. And what do we share in common? We share this bit of the statement. To know, this is our common purpose, to know Jesus Christ and to follow him in everyday life. Another author that I read this week says this quote that's up here. What binds us as Christians together is not common education, common race, common income levels, common politics, common nationality, common accent, common jobs, or anything else of that sort. Christians come together because they have all been loved by Jesus. We may be a fairly white middle-class bunch of people with some similarity in professions, but that's not what binds us together. Our jobs don't bind us together. The way we speak doesn't bind us together. And that's why the church is for anyone, because it's not these things that bind us together. As Christians, we're bound together by nothing other than our common purpose of sharing in the love of Jesus. That's what unity as Christians is about. It's about sharing in the love of Jesus. We're a community of people sharing the common purpose of knowing Jesus Christ and following him in our everyday lives. And we make that journey together, supporting and encouraging one another along the way. The line that stands out to me in the whole passage that Hannah read is verse 44 of Acts chapter 2, which says, "All the believers were together and had everything in common." For me, that was the standout verse. All the believers were together and had everything in common. The significance of the unity shown in this passage is that everyone got on board and worked together towards a common purpose. There was no one saying, "I don't want to pray," or "I don't want to sell my possessions," or "I don't want to give to the poor," "I don't want to make disciples," or "this activity isn't for me." But they simply united behind the common purpose that they had of following and serving Jesus as led by the apostles. And they did it together. So why are you here today? Are you sharing in this community? Are you sharing in the common purpose of knowing and following Jesus? Finally, unity only happens when each person takes responsibility for their own faith and their own way of life. My nan was quite a funny lady, and she said a lot of funny things. And one of the things that she used to say, if anyone asked her if she was a Christian, she would say, "Yes, of course I am. My daughter goes to church every week." As if my mum going to church on her behalf meant that she had a relationship with God herself. If you aren't taking responsibility for your faith, if you aren't investing in your relationship with God, and if you're holding back from committing to the life of the church, that doesn't just affect your own faith. That affects the unity of the whole body. I often think of faith as being a little bit like a muscle. When you work at it, you see growth. I'm not sure if you've ever seen some of the young men that you often see in the gym who drink the protein shakes, you know, the ones. And on the top half of their body, they're absolutely huge and they're built like a fridge. But on the bottom half, they have tiny little skinny legs because they spent all their time working out the top half and no time working on their leg muscles. And I think this is a good image of a church in which the body is a bit out of proportion, where some people are actively seeking God, but other people are holding back. It creates a body where you have some muscles that are strong and have been working well, but others that are a little bit weak, a body which is out of proportion. Looking back to the early church in Acts, they worshipped, they broke bread, they sold property to give to the poor. They met in the temple and praised God. A lot of these things they did together. But to do things together, each person has to actively make the choice to invest their time and their energy and their lives into serving God in that community. When people become members of this church, they agree, and we actually have a covenant thing on the screen, and they agree to invest in their relationship with God and to use their gifts in the service of God. Any of you who are a member of this church will have read that statement. To agree to invest in your relationship with God and to use your gifts in the service of God. Unity doesn't only come from moving together with a common purpose, but it also involves each and every believer taking responsibility for their own relationship with God and showing a willingness to use their gifts in serving God as part of his church. Now, I know that's not always easy for some people, and you may think, well, where do I start? Or I'm really struggling. And you're saying all this, and it's great to hear, but actually, where do I start? Perhaps the starting point is a conversation with me about where you're at, and we can walk together through that, or with your small group leader. Or perhaps for some, it might actually be that this prayer weekend is a good starting point for you to invest in your relationship with God. As we've said, the prayer room is open till 6 p.m. today. Even if you haven't signed up, come along. I'll be there from 4 till 6 if anyone wants to join me. And then 7:30 till 8:30 tonight, we're joining together to pray and to worship at St. Peter's. An ideal place for you to start investing in your relationship with God, taking responsibility for your own faith and your own service of God. So move together, share in a common purpose, and take responsibility. As I said earlier, I believe that God is doing something incredibly special in his church here in Ruddington. I read that quote at the start, spiritual awakenings happen when God's people are united in prayer. And it's this unity between the churches and unity in prayer that makes me believe that God is going to do something new here in Ruddington because of the unity that we share as churches. And I believe that this prayer weekend and other prayer events like this provides that fertile soil for God to do something new. When we went to Fresh Streams as a leadership team earlier in the year, we had a prayer session with some leaders from another church. And one lady spoke an incredibly powerful prophetic word over us. And two things she said in that. One was about the importance of prayer in our church. But the other bit said, because of the unity within your church, you will grow. Because of the unity within your church, you will grow. About 3.5 years ago, I came to visit this church for the first time. And the thing that made me really want to be the minister of this church was the unity between the people here and just the way that you love each other. And I'm not preaching a sermon about unity because the unity in this church isn't already good, it is. I'm preaching it because I think God is doing something new. And I think these are the areas where the enemy will seek to attack and destroy. So let's keep strong in our prayer lives. Let's take responsibility for our own prayer lives. And let's work at unity. Let's keep our relationships between each other strong. If we have a problem with anyone, if something has caused a relationship not to be peaceful, let's sort that out. Let's sort that out today. Let's approach someone for a conversation. If you don't want to do that on your own, perhaps we can arrange a meeting. God is going to grow our faith and grow our church because of our unity, and that will take root through prayer. So let's keep on praying. Let's pray together. Lord God, I praise you for the unity in this church. I praise you for the relationships between the people here. I praise you for the faith that each person here has. And Lord, I just ask that as we meet together and pray this weekend, and as we move forward from here, that prayer would be at the heart, that we would be going and digging so much deeper in our relationship with you. And Lord, I just pray that out of that prayer, the relationships between Christians in this church and in this village will grow. And that just like Mr. Mapley saw that unity and saw that it was good, that so many other people will see how good the unity is between the churches here, between Christians. And that will make a real difference in people's lives, and they'll want to be a part of what's going on. And so, Lord, I ask that we would be able to move together as your people, as your body. Lord, help each one of us to explore and discover what our gifts are and how we can use those in the church. Lord, help us to share in this common purpose. Help the reason why we come to church and why we are part of this community to be that we just want to know you more. And we just want to follow you more in our everyday lives. And Lord, I pray that we'll be able to encourage one another and lead each other in doing that. And then, Lord, I pray that you would give us the courage to take responsibility for our faith, that we'd understand what that means and how we can do that. Lord, I pray for anyone who doesn't know where to start with that, that we can explore that together. So, Lord, I pray for unity. I ask this in your name. Amen.